What's going on, gang? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Lev First Show. Fucking pleasure to have you here. We're going to have a great time. As always, just hope you enjoy the episode. If you do, take a screenshot, throw it on your Instagram story, tag us, you know, tweet about us. I love when people send me like their favorite line from the episode or whatever. So show some love, show some support, and you can get every premium episode on the Patreon at patreon.com/LevFur. Or through the Patreon app. And other than that, got a fucking great guest on today. Been excited to have her on. You might have seen her on Comedy Central. She's done 20 million things. Please help me welcome Kim Congdon, everybody.
Hey, what's up?
It's funny. As soon as we got into the Zoom, you start shitting on my life and my sleep schedule.
Well, yeah, you're disgusting. You woke up after two. That's so gross.
Well, here's the thing. I originally set my alarm for 1.
That's even grosser. That statement is worse than you waking up after 2. You set an alarm to wake up at 1 o'clock. You just can't. There's no way your body can just naturally wake up until it's afternoon.
I don't know how else to explain it other than when I wake up at 1 and I see that alarm. It feels better than coming, going back to sleep. Like, just, it's so beautiful and warm and dark. And I just, like, it's my favorite thing. I love sleep.
But then you have so little daytime. Daytime's my favorite.
I'm up till, like, 4 or 5 a.m., though. Like, last night I went to
sleep
at 5.
Yeah, but that's not daytime. That's not, like, sunshine and birds and, like, cool things to see that are out in the sun.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing. You know what I think it is? I think mentally,
you live in New York, so there's nothing to look at. Got it.
Yeah, that's also it. I mean, if I show you outside my window here, it's just fucking old ladies. No, but I think I'm scared of the nighttime.
Right.
So I think, like, I don't want to be asleep during the scary time. You know what I mean? Does that make
that
sense?
Makes so sense.
Instead, I sleep when I know it's safe in the daytime.
That's interesting. I do the opposite. I am scared of the nighttime, and that's why I sleep. I'm like, you know, I'm just going to pass out so I don't have to think about it.
See, that's brave. You're like, you're like, the nighttime scares me, so fuck it. I'm just going to be completely... Me, I'm like searching my apartment for demons and shit.
Truly, yeah, every night.
Yeah. Like
every night, I'm like, I felt an energy in here. What was that? What was that? And then, you know, I'm staying at this studio right now because I was originally supposed to be in LA just for a couple weeks and I ended up just staying. So I'm subletting this studio. And I did feel a little creeped out when I first got here. And there was like a couple things that had happened that made me nervous. And I'd never been like, my place is haunted. And then the girl who has a studio, she was like, hey, can I come by and pick up some stuff that I need? And I was like, yeah, no problem. She came by and she's my friend. And she was like, oh, by the way, she has this liquor cabinet that's like right in front of me. And she's like, by the way, my grandparents are down here. So their ashes are at the bottom. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. cool.
I don't think I've ever been in a house that had ashes in it.
Well,
like
I'm
in
here.
My life.
Doesn't feel great.
You feel like it adds a little something in the air?
Well, I had to have a talk with the room. I was like, I'm just visiting. After she said that, I was like, listen, if anyone's in here, like, me and your granddaughter are cool. I'm just visiting. I'm not going to mess with nothing.
Did you do that talk during the daytime or the nighttime?
Absolutely. During the day. I would never do that at night.
Can you imagine you do that? This is the thing. Like, I'm a normal, like, fucking rational person. But when it comes to shit like that, for some reason, being alone in a house is like terrifying to me. Like, in terms of, like, especially if there's ashes, you got your fucking dead grandma and grandpa down there in the fucking liquor cabinet by the whiskey. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guarantee, like, I'm not a superstitious person, but I know that if it was 2 a.m. and you went, just so you know, I'm only here in peace, you would hear, are you? Just coming out of the fucking cabinet.
You know what's really fucked up? And this is going to be a thing. This is just a theory I had as a child. And it kind of... I used to think like it was crazy, but now that I'm going to say it out loud, I could see where my childlike mind went with this because I was so scared of the dark and I was also brown and all my friends were white and I was living in a racist state. I always thought that maybe people were racist because the nighttime's scary, so they just associate things being darker with being scary.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that weird?
That's what it is. I mean, there's
is that like, what it is? Is that is that the origin of racism?
I think. Look, I'm no fucking expert here, but I think that's a big part of it because like Chappelle would talk about how like he was darker than his other siblings, and he would notice from an early age he would get worse treatment because of the color of his skin. So I think there is something just like for some reason we associate like just anything that's dark, like, you know what I mean? Like nighttime, et cetera, with fear or like,
well, even like using the word dark, you like, oh, there's dark spirits. And that means like bad. It's like never like there's white spirits around here. People like shiver. If someone's like, there's a white spirit in here, I'm like, that sounds great. Am I going to win the lottery? You know?
Right.
But
well,
it's very,
ghosts
very
are
weird.
White, but ghosts are like the least threatening of the demons. They walk around in a fucking blanket bumping into shit.
Ghosts are ghosts are the pussies of demons.
Do you think because like white people were writing all this fucking like, you know, what we think of as like these like the devil and all that shit, all these original scary stories, they like chose the fucking colors of people racially of like.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But naturally, you're afraid of fucking night. Because when I told you, like, I sleep in the day because I'm afraid of the nighttime. I expected you to be like, you're out of your fucking mind. But you were like, yeah, I'm scared of the night too. I wonder if that's like most people. It's just
the dark is scary. I don't know what else to say. The dark is scary. I used to, I never did before, but when I was younger, a lot of the times I would come home and I would check like my shower and stuff at night and like under my bed. And then when I moved into college, I would do the same thing. And then I stopped for a while. And then there was a very horrible murder that you know about in New York. And
wait, what are you talking about?
When Dave Kimowitz died.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then I started checking behind my shower again. And like it came back literally that week. I was like, I felt like a kid again. I hadn't done it in years, but right after that happened, I do it every night. I check every single spot that someone could fit.
Yeah. Checking your asshole, checking.
So I checked my pussy twice.
But do you know where it stems from with you? Cause I know exactly where it is with me, like where those thoughts came from.
My mom is scared of everything. My mom put the fear of every possible bad thing happening to us and me and my sister's heads all the time. Yeah. She's scared of everything.
Yeah. My mom is I love her to death, but she's one of these very difficult people. You know what I mean? She can't help but like be herself.
Right.
And, we're in a fucking pandemic, right? She calls me the other day. She's like, Lev, I need $50,000.
Whoa.
And I was like, for what? She's like, I found a house I really like. I need an extra $50,000 to buy this house. And I was like, Mom, I have like $500 right now. And she goes, you're a fucking loser. Why you don't work harder? Made me feel like I asked her for $50,000.
Right, right.
Like, yeah, she started trashing me. And then she was like, Lev, I would do anything to get this house. I was like, are you offering to suck my dick right now? Like, what the fuck? Like, but that's like always, it's
suddenly
always
your mom
funny.
Pops up in the Zoom video. <I'm> like, whoa.
No, but my mom is a very anxious person too. And her mom is very anxious. And I know all of that, I'm sure genetically that kind of wiring gets passed down. But I can remember, I mean, like when I was like six, some kid in the neighborhood told me that when you're showering, like, or in your shower, there's this clown that can come up out of your drain and kill you when you're in the shower. I think that once a month. You know what I mean? I'm not afraid of it anymore, but now I'm like, you know, I've seen worse things in showers at this point. But like, you still think of that fucking fear seed that gets planted in you when you're this like little ass kid.
Totally. You know? Totally. Yeah. Every time my mom, I'll tell her of something that's like happening, I'm like, oh, I'm pitching this really cool thing. It might be very fun. And she's always like, don't forget to help mommy. And I'm like, bitch, can you let me get like $1,000 first before you start reminding me that I owe you for giving me life?
Yeah. No, my mom will like always remind me like, don't forget, I'm counting on you.
Right. So, no, totally.
I'm like, I wouldn't. I'm like, things are going good. I wouldn't.
I tell my mom, I'm like, I counted on you. Like, why do I don't understand.
That's so funny. Are you close with both parents?
It's kind of weird. Me and my mom used to be very close. We have a much different relationship now. She had like a very, 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 extreme personality change like 10 years ago. And ever since then, it's been a much different relationship. Less mother-daughter and more like acquaintance, friends, definitely friends. But yeah. And me and my dad weren't very close growing up, and we've gotten closer over the last few years.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of had the same thing where like, and what's interesting is in my house growing up, like, you know, my parents are fucking Russian. So like, it was like, if you fucked up, like you were going to get either slapped or the fucking belt was coming through for a visit. And I honestly didn't get hit that much as a kid, but so it's just one tear just flows down my cheek, but I didn't deserve it.
Yeah, I can tell by the way you sleep till 2 p.m. every day.
I could hear him by the door. Yeah. No, but like my dad was the one that I was physically afraid of, because it was like, oh, if you got like a bad report card or some shit, he would be like, he was there. So there was all this like physical fear from him. You know, which mostly was my mom putting on me. Her being like, oh, you fucked up. Wait till your dad gets home. And then my dad would come home. I'd just pretend to be asleep and nobody would bother me. And that was like, that was it. But then all the other stuff, like all the superstitions, all the fucking, there might be demons. That's all like from my mom's side.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Moms are good at like the emotional abuse.
Yeah.
That's their specialty.
Yeah, because once you hit 12, they can't like physically fuck with you anymore. You know, you're like, you start being their size.
There was one time my mom broke her leg roller skating. She had like these like crutches and like this wheelchair she would roll around in for a couple months. And she tried, and I was probably like 13 or 14, and she tried to hit me. And I literally just threw her wheelchair and crutches outside. She had to like go crawling to them. And she was like, this is the worst thing you've ever done. You would have thought I literally tried to murder her and not just upset because someone was trying to physically assault me.
Yeah. I love that when they get mad at you that they can't hit you.
Yes. I'm like, you hit me. You hit me. That's crazy.
Yeah, but see, like to me, if I was your dad, I'd be looking at that creative thinking. She fucking figured out how to disable you, threw it out, you know, de-escalated the situation.
My mom tells that story to this day. It is like she gets PTSD from it. She tells it like it's a war story, and she's like, and then I was crawling to the yard. Like, okay.
And it was all glass. It was
right.
Like, yeah.
She's dramatic.
I was talking to somebody about this the other day, because by the way, in school, like all that fear they put, I don't know if you like got good grades or not in class.
Did you? I was like a C student.
Yeah, I was the same. Like I had teachers that loved me, but I didn't want to do anything. So, but I remember like, you know, because I grew up with fucking cell phones and shit, like by the time I was in middle school and maybe even in fucking elementary school, but my dad would text me like once a week when it'd be his day off, and he'd be like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like in school, and I'd be like, and every time I'd be like, nothing, we're doing absolutely nothing. And he'd be like, all right, I'm coming to pick you up. So like once a week in the middle of the day, my dad would just pick me up from school, and we would just go like run errands. We'd just go to like get a burger, go to Best Buy, like fucking just go kill time. And when I tell like normal people that, they're like, what the fuck? Like your dad was just taking you out of school every week? And
right.
I was like, and I'm like, yeah, like why, you know, I would do the same thing.
It's weird.
Is it weird? Like, I would do the same thing if I was a dad. I'd be like, yeah, like I got a fucking day off. I'm going to go hang out with my kid. You know, he'll learn something by being with me. And I asked him recently, I was like, what was your thinking? Like when you would pull me out of school all the time. And he was like, I figure one day is not going to make a difference.
It's true. it's obviously memorable for you. So.
Those are some of my best fucking memories. Like,
exactly.
All these other suckers are in class. I'm fucking having a burger, fucking walking around Best Buy, listening to speakers and shit, you know?
You know what was the best, though, is when your parents, like, took you out for, like, something you had to do, like a doctor's appointment, and then you can come back with, like, McDonald's and stunt on everyone else. Like, if you came back right before lunch and you got to bring your McDonald's in, it was a game changer. You'd be like, yeah, I'm drinking a soda. So
yeah, you had to get the biggest one.
Right.
Just rattling the ice in class.
Your friends would be so fucking jealous. They would all ask for a fry. And you just give out fries like you're throwing money to peasants.
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
No, I would like, I remember those moments well. Like, you had to go get a shot or some shit, and then you come back and fucking, and even if you like, what my parents would do is they'd take me to eat after, like, go to some, like, quick restaurant. And I'd come back, and then you still got to flex that you ate. So you'd be like, oh, it's just so hard to do this math with all this Perkins inside of me. You know? Chicken biscuits, baby.
I was at the Garden. When you're there, you're family. So I don't know.
That was always the worst as a kid, when like you had to go do an appointment or something, but it was like early. If it was before 12, there was like time to bring you back to school, you know?
Yep.
I remember all those negotiations of like, you can't bring me back. It's 10 a.m. It's like, I've missed the whole fucking day already, you know?
That was the worst, when you had to go back.
Yeah. Goddamn. It was like a fucking prison sentence.
Did your parents ever just let you stay home?
Well, I used to fake sick like once a week.
Okay.
Like,
so you were out of school 2 days a week between your dad and you. You were only going 3 days a week.
Pretty much. And I wasn't making the best of those 3 days either.
Right.
Because I realized once I hit like middle school, I kind of started to realize like, oh, if I don't do anything, nothing is really going to happen. Because I was the second kid. So my parents put all this like education stress on my brother, my older brother. And for me, they just kind of stopped asking. They just assumed I was doing what needed to be done. Mm-hmm. And just, it went from, I was like an A, B student to just having pretty much C's and D's. And I even like failed a class in high school. And like all my teachers were, you know, like they recognized like I was a smart kid, but they knew like, oh, he's not even bringing a fucking pencil to class. Like he's not.
That was me.
Yeah.
The way like, I got in trouble for not even bringing a pencil. They'd be like, my teacher would be annoyed. Like, does anybody have a pencil that Kim can borrow again?
and they're creating that like that public shame in you of like you being like, yeah, I guess I'm just going to get. But then that becomes okay to you. You don't show up with a pencil the next day. You just show up with no fucking pants the next day. So you're like, fuck it.
I was like, you know what? I'm not even coming to this class anymore. Great job. Yeah.
Did you sleep in all your high school classes?
No, I wasn't a big sleeper. I was a very, 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 very social. I like every time there was a meeting or a report card or a comment, it was always like talks too much, tries to be funny, blah, blah, blah. I'm always like
tries to be funny.
God, I mean, the way I bombed in high school. But there was
they can't even give you some credit. They're like, no, she's funny in class.
They're like the industry now. I swear to God, it's the same people running fucking Netflix. But I thought there was like a shooting. What was I saying? Oh yeah, there was this teacher, Miss Fierce, and she fucking hated me. And I always tried to be so funny in her class, and like I think I drove her to almost suicide.
Really?
Yeah, she must have hated being a teacher just because of me.
Yeah. Yeah, those are always the fucking worst classes when you couldn't get a teacher to like you. Like you'd keep trying, you know, you'd keep pushing. Because I was the same way. I was a kid who I would talk during every fucking class. Like I would be making fake report cards and I would always have to edit out that part of it of like, he won't shut the fuck up, you know? But yeah, when a teacher just decided they didn't like you, you know what I mean? When they would just look at you and be like, you know, this kid's a talker or this kid's trying to be the funny one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make his life hell. Like I had a third grade teacher gave me 2 weeks of like lunch with the principal for for throwing out grade A punchlines. I mean, I was killing. I was fucking killing. And I'm, you know, but to them, it's like, they're like, okay, they're like, I think it's more so you're disrupting the class. So they're like, fuck this one kid. We got to get all these retards on board.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It was always a huge issue for me.
Would you be hard on your kids with school stuff?
No, but I'd probably go about it a different way. I don't know exactly how, but it would definitely be like, I wouldn't put a lot of importance into. I would go about it like, you just have to figure out how to pass.
Yeah.
If you can figure out how to pass, fine.
That's You'll a very Latin fine. Attitude.
Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's like, because unless you want to be, unless you're like, you want to be a doctor, you want to go to college, become a doctor or whatever, like, just figure out how to pass school. And if you could figure out how to pass school, I also think like there is some skill to like changing your report card and like being sneaky and like doing all the things we did. Like a lot of the people that did those things turned out better than the kids that just got A's for memorizing, for just having better memorization. Cause that's all school is. And truly, I cannot remember anything. Yeah. I think it's a reason that I did so bad in school. There is something in my brain where like I truly have a bad memory. And I have a lot of problems with it, like in stand up and stuff and remembering my jokes. And even like when I do stuff like jujitsu, like I'll learn something and I can't remember it. So that's why I think I did so bad in school. So I'm like, just do what you can. Figure out what you're good at and then just do that. And then just pass. Make everybody happy and just figure out how to pass. Figure it out.
Yeah.
There's always a way. Even if you're not smart enough, there's a way. Cheat your way through. If you could cheat your way through school and you're my kid, I'm low-key impressed.
Yeah. Yeah, because I told my parents later on that about all the cheating I would do. And I even told teachers I had about how much cheating I would do. Because I wanted to be like, aren't you proud of me? Like, I fucking did it. I fucking, you know, I had my cell phone out on every test, bitch. What do you think of that?
Oh my God. I would print answers on the inside labels of my drinks, my water bottles. So it would look like just a regular label, but on the inside there would be the answers. We would go hard cheating.
Even if you got caught with that, I feel like if you're an adult, you kind of have to be like, all right, you shouldn't have done it, but a little bit of respect. This looks pretty fucking close.
Right.
Then I'm sure that teaches you more about life is like, you got to fucking figure your way through shit. Make, you know, you got to like learn how to get by.
Right. And it's like, if you're going to cheat, you got to be smart. Like if you're going to make one of those labels, use the same font as on the outside, make big letters that say nutrition, sugar. So they're not reading the small details. They're just seeing like, oh, that is a label. It wouldn't say sugar and nutrition or whatever the fuck. You have to be smart. And then I would probably be very proud. But yeah, I don't know how school's going to be when I'm a parent or how I'm going to feel about it. Kind of just depends on what kind of kid my kid is. If they seem like very scholarly or like they're going to be a scientist, then I'll probably push it a little harder. Mm. But I feel like a lot of times you can kind of tell who someone's going to be. It was very clear for me.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that because if I look back at myself, I think I'd probably be able to say the exact same thing of like, yeah, this kid's probably going to do some form of like entertainment or something and not fucking, you know, this, like his brain's not built for this. He doesn't have the attention span for this, but there was nobody until I said that idea out loud. There was not one person in my life that was like, yeah, it's like college might not be for you because I know if I would have gone to college, I would have like freshman year, I would have stuck a professor in the face. Like just from total defiance. Like I can't have people telling me what to do. Like I know I would have flunked out. I would have completely failed out.
Yeah.
Just mentally.
Yeah. I'm like I started school, when right? I first I did. I went to school, but I did drop out. I dropped out my last semester of college and just stayed in LA.
Explain that.
Well, I was working at this place called The Swamp, which was like across the street from I went to the University of Florida. So it was across the street from the University of Florida. It was the most popular like bar restaurant in town. It was fucking packed every night. It was so busy. It was so crazy. I was working there and I would do like these little like, cause I was in TV productions, I would do like little videos of the weekends and then, you know, edit them together. And then I would give them to the owner and he'd display them on the TVs outside of the restaurant. And it would look really cool. And then one day he was like, oh, I have a friend who has a production company in LA. You should do a summer internship there. And I was like, absolutely. Like instantly, I was like, I'd love to go to LA for the summer. Yeah. So he hooked me up with an internship and it ended up being at Fremantle Media, which is the company that does American Idol, The Price is Right, Let's Make a Deal, all those shows.
All
they do
favorites.
Like The Deadliest Catch, all the, all that shit. And, and from there, I was just kind of hanging out and doing that a couple days a week. And then at night, I started hanging out around the Comedy Store just to watch the comics.
Right.
And then there was, my
like
cousin Macala? Yeah, I was 21. I just turned 22.
Okay. Macala's your cousin? I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd have been way nicer to her.
Hilarious. That's really funny. she was living in LA at that point, and she was an assistant for an agent. And she was like, oh, I go and check out comedy at the comedy club. And so I would go with her while she would look for comics. And I remember there was one day I was hanging out at the store having a lot of fun. And then there was one day where there was like a manhole, a sinkhole that had happened. And I had made this like joke about it to McCalla when we were at her apartment. And then that night we went to the store and Dane Cook was there. This was like 8 years ago. And everybody was like super excited. And then he did a bit about the manhole that happened that day. And it was very similar to the joke I had made in McCall's apartment like a couple hours earlier.
You think he stole it?
Right. He heard it. I shouldn't have left the window open is the problem. Like I was thinking that while I was watching him, and McCullough had said something like, oh, he sold out Madison Square Garden a few times. It's crazy. And right when she said that, it clicked. I was like, if he can write those, if I could be writing jokes similar to someone that sold out Madison Square Garden, why wouldn't I just do this?
Yeah.
Like it hit me that
just doing
Andrew
Dice Clay stuff.
Right. He was literally doing Dice's set. just a lot more flailing. But yeah, it was just like one of those crazy moments. So I dropped out. I signed up for the open mic that Monday. It was the next day. I went on stage and then I got off stage. I had so much fun. And then it just so happened that Kill Tony was happening that night. And I put my name in the bucket and I got my name drawn. It was only like four names. And yeah, I did stand up that night. And the next morning I called my advisor and dropped out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like because that makes complete sense because I can't imagine living that moment and seeing it that crystal clear of being right. Like, oh, I did the thing that this guy's like made a career of doing. That is going to blow anything I could do away. It's in terms of having fun in life. And then having to go back to school and do another 6 months of shooting fucking videos for a bar. Like, you know, I have like nightmares sometimes where I get called from my high school and they're like, yeah, we fucked up like some file. You have to come back for a year.
No.
But oh, for some reason, my stupid brain goes, and now I'm in high school.
No.
Just like, oh my God, I need to get back to New York.
I think you're just worried about some Me Too charges subconsciously. I'm just fucking girl. All these high school girls. I didn't even know I was in high school again.
No, I was such a... I don't know about you, but I wasn't getting laid in high school at all. I mean, the week I left high school was like my first kiss.
Yeah, no, I was at the end, but I was one of the last friends to start like having sex and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Because I
why is everyone is shocked when I say that? They're like,
you're a huge whore. I feel like you fucking. No, I feel like you because here's what it is with you. Like me and you are both very flirty people. And,
right.
But you, I assume when I meet a woman who's like a young woman like you, flirty and like, you know how to be sexy and all this stuff. And you just seem like you would have had all that figured out in high school.
No, not at all. I the first time I went down on a guy, I was 16 years old. And this was like one of the only times and I made him use a condom.
like a veteran prostitute.
Yeah, it was really bad. And then I started dating a guy for like a year after that when I was 17 and he was a virgin. I was a virgin. And then me and him just had like virgin sex together for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
So yeah. It wasn't like a very exciting time.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because when you're in high school, you keep thinking like, because I had friends, like I had this friend who was like fucking, by the time he was 15, he had this like grown, he had a porn star's dick and he was like 5 feet tall. It was like,
oh my God.
It was insanity. But this kid was fucking like pretty often, you know, for high school, it's like, wow, he fucked two girls this year. Like he was living his life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, and you have this pressure of like everybody else is figuring out sex. I'm not. I'm lying about it. Like that's you mm-hmm. as a kid. And then there was this movement of like, no, it's okay to say you haven't had sex yet. Like, don't lie, you know?
Right.
But when you look back on it, to me, the thought of like 15 and 16 year olds having sex, it's like disgusting.
It's like, that's so gross.
That's too young. Like,
it's
you know,
so gross.
Like people at 18, 19. 15-year-old
fucking, they like after school, like they've been at school and they smell like school. They smell like fucking books.
You smell like a book, bitch.
Ugh.
Isn't that like, because I feel like when you're 15, 16, like you don't even know how, like these kids don't know how to fucking shower themselves and like make all of yourself smell nice. And,
well, also like you're fucking in like the backseat of cars and shit. Like it's a whole different world.
Yeah. Well, that hasn't changed, but
yeah.
In hindsight, I think if I had a kid too, for one, like school wise, I'd be like, listen, like, I don't really care what your grades are. I hope that if you want to go into something that's going to require your grades to be good, you fucking crush that shit.
Right.
I think my attitude to my kids would be more so like, you have to be successful on your own.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what you choose to do, whether it's art or whether it's fucking business or whatever, like, you have to be successful at it. Like, because I'm not raising no fucking bum. I'm going to tell you that.
No,
right now.
Dude. No, no. I don't care what you do, but be the best at it. That's what I like. I'm like, if your hobby is gluing seashells on your face, you better have a million subscribers on YouTube while you do it.
Like, yeah, monetize.
Yeah, dude. Figure it out.
Yeah. And, but if it came to like sex too, I'd be like, I don't know, because every kid kind of feels that pressure of like needing to fuck and like not wanting to be the weird one. But almost every single, this is how I know everybody was lying. Almost every adult that I've ever talked to and asked them when they lost their virginity, it's like usually like 18, 19, 20.
Yeah, everybody was lying.
Yeah.
Totally.
This is just now phasing on me right now.
It's just hitting you. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, this is literally just hitting me. I'm like, wow, everybody was fucking lying.
Yep.
Man,
yeah.
We should be telling kids this.
Yeah, nobody's really having sex. It's true. And it's like not good. Like honestly, like I didn't catch my first good dick till I was like 23 or 24.
Yeah. I think that's probably
like, it was all fine before that. And then like I was like, and then there was like one, maybe I might have been 25. It might have been just like 5 years ago. Yeah. And there was like just one time where I was like, oh, I've
honestly,
never
I thought
had
you
sex
were like
25,
26 now.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. But what do you mean by, let's get specific. You caught your first good dick. What made it?
What a like, disgusting way to say that.
You said it. I'm quoting you.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. What made your brain go, oh, that's good dick?
Exactly what my vagina felt.
Yeah.
It was just exact. Like, it was like, truly, I think, this is going to sound so hoary. It was the first really big dick.
Yeah.
And then I sort of figured out what I'm into.
Well, you're one of, I know a couple of women who really prefer big dicks.
Yeah.
I remember this one girl that I hooked up with. Like,
I turn my volume down. I'm scared my neighbors are going to hear me.
I think you're scared the grandparents are going to hear it. I'll tell you about a big dick. So this one girl I dated, like I have an average dick, I would say, but back when I was like casually fucking a lot, I'm like an anxious fucking nut job. So I would think I was like 60% hard the entire time. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah. Just like, you know, not making a deep impact here, but I was hooking up.
Literally.
Yeah. You know, I was hooking up with this girl and I could tell during the sex, I was like, I'm doing nothing for her. Because like I just knew, because I was like, there's so much space around my penis right now. Like I literally had that feeling. I was like, there's a full ring of air, like a untouched ring of air around my penis going into this girl. And
you felt a breeze on the side of your dick.
All around. I felt the whole fucking draft, everything.
It got cold.
I was like, I think I'm making your pussy colder right now.
Yeah, you're like, do you have a blanket in here for my dick?
And I remember like when I was like, hey, I don't think we should see each other anymore. And it wasn't because of that, but it wasn't. But,
but it
she
was.
Yeah, she then hit me with the yeah, well, you have a small dick anyways line, right? And in my head, I'm like, no, I have an average dick. Okay.
Right.
Average to smaller. But okay. It's we're there, you know?
Yeah,
but she had a larger capacity vagina. And it's, I don't like curb to think about this, but like, I'm telling you, I've like, you know, I've had sex with a handful of women. You can tell their vagina sizes. They're all different. And it's random. It's completely random. It's just like men. Like some men are like 6'5", 3-inch cock. Some dudes are like 5'2", 20-inch cock.
It's truly shocking sometimes. You never fucking know. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's truly closing your eyes and just reaching in and being like, got one. Yeah. Like, God, the worst for me, the worst is when I get tricked in the makeout, because sometimes it feels bigger in the pants than it does out of the pants is a big issue. So, because then I'll do the makeout and I'll give it a test. Yeah. And then I'm like, all right, it seems good. And then it's not. And then you're like, but we're already here. I wouldn't have gone past the makeout.
Yeah.
But you wore thick underwear or something.
The old 8-inch thick underwear trick.
But yeah, I guess I didn't realize that vaginas were different sizes. I guess I have a huge vagina. Let me just say here, I don't like a huge horse cock.
Yeah.
I don't even like a huge dick. I like a big dick.
So what is that size range? Because my dick, I've said it before, it's about the exact length of an iPhone.
Okay, so.
Everybody's holding up.
Okay, so that's actually very average. That's exactly what I think of when I think of an average size.
Yeah,
dick,
I might even be right here. Like, I might be right before the end.
Don't be disappointing me. Don't give me less than just, an iPhone. How are you going to start with a full iPhone?
Phones are so big these days,
If anything, you should have started less and gone. You should have been like, it's like half an iPhone. You know what? It's actually 3/4.
No, I'd say it's like 8/10 of an iPhone.
Let me see. I'd say.
But it is very good looking.
Okay, that's important. Hold on. I'm going to show you. Hold on. I got to put my mic down.
She's like, she's pulling three iPhones together. Let's see.
I like it here.
So like an 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want something that's got some swing to it, some bow
truly,
to it.
Yeah. Like I want it. This is what I really enjoy. I like when they take their pants off if it like.
Yeah.
Yeah. It needs to feel heavy.
Yeah. It needs some volume. But that's your thing, you know? And I when I told this girl, I was like, listen, I have like, you know, we remain friendly. And this is the funny thing. This is what a chick will do. She'll hit you with the, yeah, well, you had a small dick anyways. And then you don't take the bait on that. And then a week later, they're just sexting you. And I'm like, I want to slowly drag my tongue.
Because it's a bigger dick thing to do, not to care.
Yeah.
It's like, well, now it looks bigger. It's like an optical illusion. You're like, now it looks bigger because you don't care.
Wait, maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, no, let's try it again.
I told her, like, we were friendly chatting one time, and I was like, yeah, like, you know, chicks' vaginas are all different. You had a more, and I was careful about how to say it, I was like, you had a more spacious, not spacious, but I told her, I was like, your vagina is just meant for bigger dicks than mine. And it's like,
she got all pissed.
At first, she got a little defensive, but then she was like, yeah, but then again, I said, you have a small dick. And I was like, yeah, so we're fucking, you know, fair is fair here. Mm-hmm. But and it's all completely random because I've had sex with women who are like my height or not my height, but, you know, that'd be fucking shocking. But, you know, like around the ballpark and very shallow vagina where like when you're having sex, you can actually hit the back wall like easily. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then others where... I could put three dicks in and I'm not going to hit that back wall. And it's just random.
Now we're talking. The iPhone. Now this sounds fun.
Yeah. So it's just completely fucking random. And I don't know if there is science behind this, but I do think we talk so much about guys like dick sizes and it's like, no, it's all just a random crapshoot, guys and girls.
Totally.
What you're equipped with. So
I honestly, I think I just figured out I'm a little bit of a, would you consider that a size queen?
Yeah, I would say you're a size queen, and but I don't think there's anything wrong with that. As a guy who, I just know, okay, I'm not going to fulfill a size queen's fucking dream here. You know what I mean?
Right. Also, like, it's really fucked up to be in my situation because there's been times where, like, I've been with someone and everything is fine. Even the sex is fine and I can come and, like, all that. But there's still, you're just still like,
you know, well, what's out there.
Yeah, you just remember.
Yeah, no, it's like if you've been in a Ferrari before and now you're gonna drive a Camry and you're like, yeah, it's, you know, it gets me there, it's got AC,
right? You're like, this thing could go 400,000 miles if I want it to. but
the other one's Italian.
Exactly.
I almost feel like with guys, there must be like dudes who are like, I think size queen has a negative connotation because it's like, and by the way, it's totally gonna be the title of this episode. But I think it has a negative connotation, but I don't feel that it should.
Can it be size Queen Kong?
Yes. Now we get, that's like a real ass podcast title.
People are going to comment and be like, she fucked Lewis to get on Lev's podcast.
I don't know if there's a lot of crossover, but I don't think that term should have a fucking negative connotation, because it's like, if guys are like, yeah, like really tight pussy, you know what I mean? Which is like what fucking every dude, like, kind of, you know, when they're young, they throw that stupid shit out there. But it's like, people like their sizes. It's what it is. When I'm watching porn, I don't want to see an average dick in porn. You know what I mean? No. It's like one of the few places I don't want to see representation. Of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you keep those fucking big, dumb horse cock dudes.
Yeah.
Do you think, though, I have a theory that guys with bigger dicks are dumber?
No. Not necessarily. I think that they probably, a lot of them have had, they get like big dick privilege. It's almost like being attractive.
Yeah.
You probably get the same amount of privilege as they do.
Because
your
that.
Face, you have the big dick, and your face is a big dick. Like, you have an 8-inch face.
Oh, thank you.
You know what I mean?
I got a girthy face.
You got a girthy face.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I haven't really noticed them being particularly dumber. I think they're all equally dumb.
Well, you heard it from her first, you know? She thinks the guys with big dicks are retarded, just as I suspected. let's jump into, I got a couple emails for you that we'll do here. If you have an email, folks, send it into the show, thelevfirstshow@gmail.com. If you're a part of the Patreon, include that so I know we can get to it quicker and we can get to it on a Friday episode. This one came in. This is from a Patreon. Should I tell my best friend she's being a crazy bitch? We got some girl drama here. You ready? She goes, hey, my best friend and I have been friends since we first met in the ninth grade and have now been friends for nearly 14 years. Needless to say, what did she type this on her typewriter? Needless to say, we are pretty close, and I don't think she's going anywhere anytime soon. I love her to death, but one thing I don't know how to approach with her is how she treats the guys that she's seeing. She's never had a boyfriend before, but she's had many flings that have lasted anywhere from a few weeks to a few months, but nothing ever really stuck. She recently got sick of missing major red flags, so she started talking to me more about the guy she's seeing, and being honest, the bitch is crazy. She has very high standards, which is great, but she's never willing to compromise with guys on anything and is constantly on their cases about one thing or another. Fucking classic. A lot of the issues she brings up to them seem juvenile from my point of view. For example, bringing up to her dude that he doesn't like her Instagram posts enough. But to her, they are real issues that are seen as deal breakers. I think she's honestly scaring away a lot of guys because of any small issue. When any small issue gets brought up, she blows it out of proportion and sits them down for scary, serious conversations about shit that really doesn't matter. I feel bad for her because I know she's lonely and really wants a dude to love. I honestly think it's because of how she's acting that she's not succeeding. Should I tell her to chill the fuck out and try not to get so wrapped up in the petty shit, or should I mind my own business and let her figure it out on her own? What do you think, Kimmy?
I think that you should take this exact... Is this an email?
Yeah.
You should take this exact email, and instead of directing it towards Lev as a question, you should tell her all of those things you said. That's exactly how I would have the conversation with someone. Be like, I've known you for this long. We've been friends for this long. I've seen you be in a bunch of relationships, and I know that you just want to be loved. And maybe you should ask her, like, do you want me to let you know something that maybe I've noticed? And yeah. Give her the choice if she wants to know. And if she wants to know, be like, I've noticed this, and sometimes it seems like you blow things out of proportion, and I think that probably give you a lot of trouble.
Can you imagine?
Let her decide from there. You can only tell someone. The best thing you can do is at least let her know so she's not like, you never told me.
Yeah. I also think the particular thing she wants to tell her, like this example, it's not like... I mean, obviously don't word it as like, look, you're a crazy bitch, you know?
Right.
But she could be like, I think you're sitting down guys too much for scary conversations about stuff that's not important. And I think you should just learn to kind of compromise a little more with guys. Because it's like,
yeah, she needs to learn to pick her battles.
Yeah. Like you've been in longer. I mean, you've been in relationships. You know, mm-hmm. I've definitely seen women for periods of like a year or you know around there, until mm-hmm. you know till that quinceañera. But like, what do you when you're? Did you ever have a moment where you had to learn to like pick your battles, or were you? Did you ever feel like you're being too uptight about little things, or have you always just felt like you're kind of relaxed about these kinds of things? Where are you on that spectrum?
I'm actually pretty relaxed. I'm very, I feel like I'm pretty chill about most things.
Really? That's not what I've heard.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
I feel like little things don't bother me at all. Literally, I just don't want to be cheated on.
Yeah. Well, listen, talk about unreasonable goals here.
It's the only issue I have is not wanting to be cheated on. Like, I don't even care if you look. I don't care about like any of those things.
But I'm you're not, so like, cheat-onable.
I know.
It's your biggest strength.
I know.
Nah, I'm kidding.
And yeah, no, you can't be picky because it's just like if you were bothered by dumb things dudes do, then you shouldn't be dating guys because they're just going to do things that frustrate you all the time or just not pick up on clues because men and women think differently and communicate differently. So there's going to be so many times a guy is doing something that annoys you and he has no fucking clue in his head. He's going like, womp, womp. Like it's like a whole different. Yeah. And you're like, oh, he fucking hates me because he keeps doing this. And it's like, he has no idea.
Yeah.
And then I think that most problems is just like a miscommunication. But some things you don't even need to talk about it. Just let it go. I read this book called Why Men Love Bitches like a few years ago, and it was a decent book, but there was one chapter in it that like truly changed my life, and it said to be dumb like a fox. Like sometimes you just have to like just play dumb even though you already know the situation.
Like give an example.
Like he doesn't like there are ways to get like, you know, your boyfriend, he never takes out the trash and you're like really annoyed because you feel like maybe that's like a thing that a guy should be doing in the house. You play dumb like a fox, like you start taking out the trash yourself and then just, you know, you notice, you say you don't notice it. And I can't give you a good example right now, but
some book.
You trick no, but him. In, you just in, act in like effort, you don't so care when you like, really care and then they'll start noticing.
Yeah, because like if I saw my girl taking out the trash, I'd be like, what are you doing? Like, let me get
instead
that.
Of bitching, you just take it out yourself and you go, I'll just take it out myself.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Because my instinct would be like, whoa, what are you crazy? I'll fucking, that would get me off my ass as opposed
right, but
to
not someone going, can you take out the trash? That's like, yeah, I'll do it when I'm ready. But if you see her physically doing it, yes, that's what I was trying to get to.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I would try, but it's just so heavy.
Yeah,
I'm just here with my big airy pussy and I can't make it down the stairs.
I keep flying up.
I go down and I just fill with air and then I float with the trash and I can't get back to you.
I love that. Yeah, but I can imagine a guy being like, okay, I'll take it. Jesus. I don't want that.
Honestly, even if you were fun and did that entire bit, I think that could get a guy to take out the trash. You're just going to make it fun, like a toddler. To cut their fruits up into stars.
Honestly, I think that's the best approach is just like fucking something like that. Use that exact quote by my big pussy filled with air.
My big airy pussy. If you're listening, go back. Record that part and then write it down. So next time you want your dude to take out the trash, try that exact bit.
He's just like shocked sitting on the couch like, what the fuck? Yeah,
I take out the trash.
I think in general, I would probably all my relationships before were all very like fucking, you know, very turbulent, a lot of arguments about little stupid shit. Mm-hmm. My current relationship, nothing like that. And I think that's honestly the only thing this girl's got going for, because if she just wasn't so easy to maintain, you know. I'd just look for any excuse to kick her out. But
that's
she
what I do usually. She keeps coming back because it's nothing's wrong.
Yeah, this is the problem. She's too good. You know what I mean? So every day I'm looking like, all right, you slip up yet? Nothing. She's just fucking, she's just rock solid. And because of that, if somebody is, and obviously I'm fucking around, but if somebody, because I know she's listening, but when somebody's that fucking reasonable, and like just when they show up, they make you happy and you're not arguing about little shit. And instead they make your life better. it's kind of impossible to be like, yeah, I shouldn't date this person. You know, I should go yeah. back to fighting all the fucking time about dumb shit.
Right. Sometimes people are like so used to being in the fighty relationships that it feels odd to be in a healthy one.
That's exactly what's been happening to me. Was like, yeah, that's what I've been talking about in my set is like, I'm just so not used to it, you know?
Like, oh, God, yeah.
I wrote this bit like of like, she's too reasonable in that, like, it's really kind of 50-50, except for like, I pay for everything because you know how feminism is. And she it's such a good balance that like, if she like ever cheated on me, like, I'd never be able to have that like movie moment of like, bitch, you cheated on me?
Right.
Like, after all I did for you, you cheated on me? Like, I wouldn't be able to have that. Like, if she told me like I cheated on you, I'd have to be like, yeah, you know, you work very hard. You're self-sustaining. I'm gonna work on me and I'm gonna come back better. And
you have to think about how she changed your oil.
That's funny. That's a good tag. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
I think in general there are no healthy relationships that aren't like that, where you're not fucking picking your battles and letting it go.
Totally.
Her question being, I think it's totally fine to tell your friend, and if it's your best friend, I think you owe them shit like that.
Yeah, you almost have to at this point. You're being a bad friend if you don't.
And you got to word it in the nicest way, you know, and just let it rock.
Because we know this bitch makes a problem out of anything.
Yeah, she's sitting you down. She's like, listen, bitch, when you was telling me how to work on me, not right. Okay. We'll round this out. This one's called 29-year-old virgin. Finally a fella. Hey, Lev, I'm a 29-year-old guy. My girlfriend broke up with me at the start of lockdown. We spent months living in hell, stuck together, and she's finally moved out, and I've got my freedom back, but I've got no idea what to do with it. Jeez, can you imagine you spend all that time with your girl in quarantine, and you're not even getting laid. It's just like pure fucking...
They were living together?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, yeah.
What?
I've constantly been in long-term relationships, and I've never really gone out, flirted, used dating apps, anything like that. I'm also a virgin, despite having been in 3 long-term relationships of 3+ years. The women were religious slash extremely strict parents slash medical issues, respectively. This guy knows how to pick them. Let me tell you that.
Oh, Jesus Christ, dude.
He's like, yeah, I keep, you know, they're all nuns.
he's like, I don't know why they're not fucking. I pick them up at the church.
You would think they wear these long dresses all day. They want to go crazy later, but no.
Then I was like, no, none's fine. I'll take the vegetable.
Well, this paralyzed chick doesn't even want to have some fucking sex here. What's going on? It's just a guy who can't. He's like looking
her out. Oh, God.
She told me she doesn't have legs. She lost them in the war, and now I can't get some fucking... All right, so he goes...
All right, let's sign the lease.
All right, roll her in here. I'll build a ramp. All right, being a committed boyfriend, easy. Getting my dick sucked or fucked, a challenge. I like how he said sucked or fucked. That's very like porn search lingo.
He's ready to get fucked. You can tell from the aggressive typing.
I'm ready to get sucked or fucked, man.
I want to suck or fuck anything. Whoa, it's a lot. Suck and fuck is a lot next to each other, those two words.
Yeah, he's you know, especially when it's on the bill. I think there's something here to him saying being a committed boyfriend, easy. Getting my dick sucked or fucked, a challenge. Because I think he might be too nice and the girl doesn't feel any kind of this paralyzed chick doesn't feel any pressure. You know what I mean? Of like, like a guy, if a guy's just like going around, he's like, yeah, we'll do whatever you want all the time. I'm never even going to look at another woman, etc. She's got all the power.
Right.
It's a delicate thing, but. You know what I mean? Like, Patrice used to have that bit where he's like, you have to smell other women on me so you don't treat me like shit.
Right. Well, it's a very, very fine line. A woman doesn't want a dude that's out like fucking everyone and cheating on her, but she does want someone where other women want him to.
Yeah. Like, and that's what I mean is, you don't want this guy, like, you know, out banging the whole fucking city, but you do want to know that, okay, he has the tools to attract another woman.
Listen, the only thing this guy needs is to not date paralyzed or church girls. Just go. Literally, there are so many sluts that it will just fuck you real quick if that's what you want. And since you can get in a committed relationship, why don't you go fuck a few sluts first? And this is not me saying sluts in a derogatory way.
No, this we love sluts. Like,
yeah, dude, I'm very pro slut. I was one for like 4 years.
Yeah.
There are people out there that will go do that. They'll just have sex with you or like go find someone fun that you can just hook up with and be friends with benefits with and then get in a relationship. And then you'll be a little more sexually experienced and probably have a little more confidence. And
yeah, especially around 29. That's when women are actually fun. You know, like yeah. 20, you know, the younger chicks like 19 to 24, they're not really in the casual sex game. You know what I mean? They're looking for that boyfriend. But like once a chick's like 20, 26, 27, 28, she lets go of that social worry.
She gives up. Yeah. she's truly gone through the ringer. She's like, you know what? Just fuck me and go.
You're going to do what they all do. So I learned to like it.
She doesn't even say it anymore. She's just fully Stockholm syndromed. Done. Yeah.
No, but there's something to, I think a lot of it too is just like, you know, what am I going to care that somebody thinks I'm a slut? Like I want a fucking right. fat dick inside of me right now. Let's get this thing moving, you know?
Yeah.
And age kind of gives you that kind of confidence, but he goes, I'm clueless when it comes to dating or Hinge or whatever and have no sexual confidence as I don't have the experience that would be expected of someone my age. I've fingered it up, eaten pussy and ass. They're great. And I love to do it, especially eating ass. But nada on the penetration. Weird, I know, but now I'm super self-conscious at how bad at fucking I'll be, and it's stopping me doing anything. I've hit the gym, lost 20 pounds, bought some fresh clothes, but all the insecurity is still there. What do I do to get the confidence and also a girl that will actually be down to have sex? Love the pod. I think honestly, this guy's got to just apply a little fake it till you make it and realize.
I was just going to say, pretend to be confident until it starts becoming real.
Yeah. Like, just fucking, you went to the gym, you lost 20 pounds. Like, you're doing things that are way harder than what you're just
pretending to be confident.
Yeah. And the mental.
Even if you're like fucking shaking inside, just pretend like you don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Also, the jump from getting blown to penetrative sex, it's not really even a jump.
No, like, dude. Once you're doing one, you're doing the other.
Yeah. Easy. I prefer getting blown even a lot of the time. It's like, it's not like it's this new thing now. It's like, dude, when it comes to sex, for me, the chick is having her fun, like where she's going to come. That's all in the foreplay. You start.
And then she hops off that 8-inch dick and goes over to you.
Yeah. It's all group stuff, you know? No, but you know, like I get the woman out of the way first of like go down on her, finger her, you get a couple of those out, and then you know, she starts blowing you, then you go to the sex. I'm not gonna make her come from sex. So that's all coming like before or after. You know what I mean? So it's like
right.
I think that's most guys. So
right.
You don't need the, like I remember that pressure of like, is she gonna think that I'm fucking her amazingly? It's like it's kinda just a standard. Yeah. It's kinda just a standard fuck. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he can pull a standard fuck.
Yeah, you'll pull a standard fuck, dude. And if it helps you, just know most guys suck at sex anyways. So
that's true.
Like, you know what I mean? You're not
literally so many more. All of your friends are bad at sex. So just maybe you're the good one. You don't even know.
Yeah, it's because if you're not fucking, the only people you're comparing yourself to are like porn stars. And then you're like, am I going to give her a porn star fuck? And it's like, no human except for Kim wants to have a porn star fuck. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
It's not realistic.
Save it all for me.
Yeah.
Honestly, my best sex advice for guys is if you're doing anything and it seems like she's enjoying it, just keep doing that. Don't try to switch it up and get creative because you're not creative.
Yeah. Less is more. Simple.
Less is more.
Simple is good. No, dude, you go down on her. You fucking, you know, you love eating ass. You do a little bit of that. And then you slowly
spit in her mouth and then you.
Yeah. Then you slowly pump inside of her for like 2 minutes. You know, if you can really hold out. And that's that. That's what it's like to have sex with me.
That's the love for experience.
That's what it is, you know. But, yeah, fake it till you make it, dude. Honestly, like, I would just in your head even tell yourself, like, you've already fucking done all this shit. You've already gotten ahead. You got this and that. Who gives a fuck? It's just, like, one last little thing to check off the list. And it's just talk yourself down mentally of this mattering because, I mean, you saw both of our reactions. I don't think it really fucking does. You know,
Yeah.
Kim just wants to know the size.
Listen, I might pop through if you got the right answer.
Can you imagine? He's like, yeah, nobody's fucked my, everybody says my dick is too big. I have this big 12-inch hammer on me.
I'd have been like, let me come see. I don't believe this email.
We got personal investigations.
I fly him out. Like a dude.
Let's fucking, let me see if there was, yeah, let's just do this quick Instagram last minute question. It's what is normal / tolerable vagina smell versus abnormal / intolerable vagina smell?
Are you asking me?
Have you ever gone down on a girl?
No.
Oh, gee, I thought you went to Florida. No, I think in general, most vagina doesn't really have a taste or a smell. It's kind of just like skin that's slightly, it's like pheromones. So okay. I think the prime pussy is pussy you can't really taste. I went down on a chick one time after a concert, and let me tell you, not a good move. It's just because, like, sweat, you know, it's like the same. If I'm gonna get a blowjob, like, I want to present clean balls and like have a fresh rinse.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think the less smell, the better. I think some natural smells are fine. But nothing, it shouldn't be anything too crazy.
Yeah. That, I think if you're just taking standard fucking showers, or I know like chicks.
And drinking water.
Yeah. I think chicks will do, I do the same thing, but do you do a quick fucking, you get into that bathroom, do a quick rinse.
Right.
Should be good to go.
Totally.
You know.
It doesn't take much effort for your shit to smell good. And if you're doing all that and it still doesn't, you should go see a doctor.
Yeah.
Because something's not right.
Yeah, either smell normal or you need a doctor, I think. That's, you know.
Totally.
To see what's up. So, but where can the folks follow you, Kim?
You guys can follow me on Twitter at Kimberly Congdon, on Instagram and TikTok at Kim Congdon, and you can check out my podcast, Broad Topics. It's available anywhere you find podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, also on the Gas Digital Network. Use promo code Topics. I lied. Use promo code Broad, BROAD, for 20% off, or for a 14-day free trial. 14-day free trial. The weed is good here. But yeah,
Broad
follow
Topics
me
is super funny. You guys should check out that podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah. And make sure you guys follow Kim. Honestly, such a lovely time talking to you.
So fun.
Yeah. I always love catching up with you.
Hell yeah. Let's do this again sometime.
Yeah. Thank you again, Kim. And guys, I love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we will see you on the Patreon this Friday. Cheers.
All right.
All right, Kimmy. Bye.